It's just
this is Solidarity Journal. Share in a common voice. Just might find your own.
To think that this was John Doe.
It's like the argument about the arguments in part. No, we fought an entire goddamn war. States' right to do what?
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts.
It's Tuesday, November 8th, and you're listening to Solidarity Journal on WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's one and only Pacifica radio affiliate. I'm your host, Michael Perillo. On today's show, I'll have an expose and audio of what went down at last week's Occupy Oakland general strike, and what this could mean for the rest of the Occupies, so stay tuned to Solidarity Journal on the front lines of radio resistance. Solidarity Journal on WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's one and only Pacifica radio affiliate. I'm your host, Michael Perillo. With the Occupy movement still growing after its inception at Occupy Wall Street on September 17th, many have started seeing the state resist even more, with the use of wanton violence by the police in hopes to stop protesters and the movement from growing. This was on full display last week, where Occupy Oakland had a general strike, which temporarily shut down the fifth largest port in the U.S. Tens of thousands of protesters came out Wednesday to show their disgust of the corporate system that serves those in the financial institutions and the corporate sector. The decision to hold the general strike came a week before at one of the Oakland General Assemblies, after police used violence against the protesters in downtown Oakland on October 25th. Severely injuring Iraq war veteran Scott Olson.
Scott Olson, the 24-year-old Iraq war veteran, was hit in the head with a police projectile during Tuesday night's violent confrontation between Occupy protesters and officers. Olson was unresponsive and had to be intubated when he arrived.
He was now recovering from his skull fracture, but cannot speak. Soon after, people called for a general strike.
At last night's General Assembly, the Occupy Oakland encampment voted almost unanimously to call for a general strike on November 2nd, saying, quote, instead of workers going to work and students going to school, the people will converge on downtown Oakland to shut down the city. All banks and corporations should close down for the day or we will march on them.
The General Assembly is debating a proposal and is about to vote on a proposal about whether or not there's going to be a general strike next week.
Mike Church!
Mike Church!
We have the vote count!
We have the vote count!
There are 1,484 approvals! There are 77 abstentions!
And there are
36 disagrees! Mike Church! Mike Church! approval. It passes.
The mayor of Oakland, Jean Kwan, spoke to Occupy Oakland after she put out a letter saying, "I commend Chief Jordan for a generally peaceful resolution to a situation that deteriorated and concerned our community. His leadership was critical in the successful execution of this operation."
Occupy Oakland, this is Mayor Jean Kwan. I'm sorry that I could not speak to you directly tonight. I had been originally told that I could participate in the Speak Out at 6. I understand that's been canceled, so I apologize for this recording. What I wanted to say to you tonight is how deeply saddened I am about the outcome on Tuesday. It's not what anyone hoped for. I understand it's my responsibility, and I want to apologize to everyone about what happened. Today I visited Scott Olson and his parents because I was interested in how his recovery was faring. He seems to be doing well. I hope that we'll all keep him in our prayers.
But it was too late and the damage was done for Jean Kwan's apology. But then Mayor Jean Kwan would turn around and then again not side with the protesters.
First, she supported them, then okayed a police raid on the Occupy Oakland camp, then let the protesters reoccupy Frank Ogawa Plaza. And now Mayor Jean Kwan tells KCBS if the protesters can't keep the peace, they've got to go.
They have to take some responsibility. They have to step up. If they can't abide by not camping at night and can't control the violence, they need to work with Caesar to move the camp to a place that would be less disruptive.
Where is that?
Less disruptive is what they'd want. They didn't think that Oakland had it in them to have an unofficial general strike. So when November 2nd arrived, the nation was surprised. The day started off with 3,000 protesters at City Hall before stepping into the streets holding banners, one that read, "Occupy Everything, Death to Capitalism." As the day kicked off, thousands turned out in Oakland, marching and protesting in the streets, along with picketing in front of businesses that didn't support the strike, which then were forced to close down for the day. There was the unofficial strike of about 40 of the port's 325 unionized workers. The numbers swelled as the day progressed to more than 300 teachers and businesses throughout the city. Oakland let city workers use vacation or other paid time to take part, and officials said about 5% took the day off. The district was able to get substitute teachers for most classrooms, and where that wasn't possible, children were sent to other classrooms. Other businesses that supported the strike ended up shutting down for the day. But places like Whole Foods, a right-wing-owned corporate grocery store that busts up unions and gentrifies areas, was one of the reasons it was attacked by black bloc tactics. As seen in videos, their windows were smashed and fencing ripped out. Other businesses and banks like Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo met the same fate. This showed a little division within the Occupy movement in Oakland. It also showed that the dialogue about black bloc tactics, which is basically property destruction and fighting back the police, among many other things, and nonviolent tactics, needs to be discussed internally within the movements. It seemed to catch a lot of people by surprise. And the thing is, this probably won't go away anytime soon, or ever for that matter, once this movement continues and the state violence is ramped up through police brutality. At 4 and 5 p.m., tens of thousands of people marched from Oscar Grant Plaza to the Port of Oakland. Oakland Police Chief Howard Jordan warned that protesters who went inside the port's gates would be committing a federal offense. There, earlier in the day, some longshore ILW workers walked off the job or simply did not come into work and helped shut down the port. By 5 p.m., the thousands of people began to arrive at the port, and it was shut down and workers were sent home with pay. At the time, reporter from RT was describing the situation and how individuals in cars were trying to drive through the blockade of people.
We're at the Port of Oakland, where the Occupy Wall Street protesters have successfully shut down the port. The crowd you see behind me is gathered here because one of the workers tried to speed through the crowd, almost running over several protesters, trying to get through the human line, the human barricade. The protesters surrounded the car, prevented him from going. He's now backing out. But a lot of folks here are furious because, again, this was a predominantly peaceful march, hundreds of people. thousands of people had gathered here, almost no police presence. And so these kinds of tactics, these kind of aggressive tactics, driving through the crowd, plowing through the crowd, really uncalled for and very, very surprising here in light of how quiet it has been. Now, again, the Port of Oakland has effectively been shut down. Several thousand people marched from downtown Oakland onto this area. They shut down all of the gates, effectively sending a warning shot, they say, to the so-called 1%, the corporate owners of the port, trying to hurt the top elite where it hurts the most, in the pocket, in the economic sense. Whether or not
the occupation of the port by thousands of people cost literally millions of dollars and disrupted one of the largest and most important flows of capital on the West Coast. As people started leaving the port later that night, about 100 people marched from Oscar Grant Plaza to the Travelers Aid Society on 520 Broadway, a building that was recently foreclosed on and had once housed various programs from homeless people in the local area. Then, with police and riot gear arriving, people began building barricades on either side of the street and prepared for a police raid. To neutralize the effects of the tear gas, people started setting their barricades on fire. When some members of the crowd attempted to extinguish a barricade which had been set on fire, several other protesters tried to stop them.
Put the fire out! Put the fire out!
A few of the protesters grabbed fire extinguishers, buckets of water, and tried to put the barricades out. Others tried to stop them. It was explained to them that they would need the fires to neutralize the tear gas that was being fired by the riot police.
That fire extinguisher on there, in 5 seconds. It's them or us.
Hey! What? We need to put down!
The police started to move in, firing tear gas at the protesters.
Stop! Stop! Stop!
Eventually, 50 to 100 people held the foreclosed building until the wee hours of the morning. By then, the police had taken back the streets outside. Even though the shutdown of Oakland's port was a big deal, the foreclosed homes and buildings being occupied is starting to catch on quickly. It is the reason why police responded with violence to the occupation of foreclosed homes, and not the port being shut down, because they see the big threat in this. The movement is going to need to move indoors soon, with winter coming up fast. After a warm sunny day of perfect weather conditions, Bay Area weather quickly turned wintry, with light rain and temperatures dropping to the mid-40s. Temperatures are expected to drop again later this week, with rain likely again over the weekend. The movement could die off from this, even if the hardcore occupiers stick it out and remain with the encampment. It will be the mainstream people who will not attend occupations in the dead of winter, and from this the numbers will deplete rapidly. But once it's inside, like those who occupy the Travelers Aid Society, libraries, kitchens, workshops can be set up and made to educate others on how to live and work together. But for this to happen, people will need to either find cheap property to purchase or get the numbers to occupy one of the buildings while working the system.
Well known, and we raise up our hands and we take this for real, but we should.